Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
This is found on page 71 of your pew Bibles. And then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied, he always tells the story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, when he saw him, he was moved with pity. And he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. And then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. And let us pray again. That wonderful prayer. May the words of my lips and the meditation of all of our hearts, may they always be accepted in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our living redeemer. Amen. Stephen Petro is a writer who lives in North Carolina, and he was recently waiting in a long line at his favorite bakery, a shop which, according to Stephen, makes amazing scones. Refreshments are coming later. And he was watching the people who were ahead of him pluck these beautiful scones from that case, and he became worried. He became worried that the bakery would run out. But when he got to the counter, true story, he saw that there was one scone left. What do you think he said? He pointed to that scone and he said, I'll take that one. But no sooner had he said that than the guy who was directly behind him shouted, hey, buddy, that's my scone. I have been waiting in line for 20 minutes. And Petro knew that he had been waiting in line, but a line is a line. So what do you think Petro said to the man? Now, there are many things he could have said. He could have said, sorry, but it's mine. And I think many of you would say he had every right to do so. But instead, he asked this man, Would you like half? Would you like half? And the man was shocked into silence. But after a moment, he accepted this offer. And he suggested, why don't I buy another pastry and we can share? And so they sat down on a nearby bench and shared their pastries. Now, think about this. These two men had almost nothing in common in terms of their jobs, their age, their political views, or their marital status. They were strangers. But they had shared a moment, just a moment, of simple kindness. Now, as we've read in Scripture this morning, there is another story of unexpected kindness. And yes, it's found in Luke's Gospel, Luke 10, 25 to 37. We all know how this story begins. It begins with a lawyer, and it's very interesting. You have to read closely. The lawyer stands up to do what? What's the word? What's the verb? What's he want to do? He wants to test. Now, where else have we heard that prayer? We'll hear it a little bit later. Lead us not into a time of test to temptation. This guy is not really looking forward to getting anything that's really going to change his life. He just wants to test Jesus, revealing himself, I believe, at least an opponent of Jesus, perhaps a skeptic of Jesus. Teacher, the lawyer must do, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And there's no indication, I want to say this, give it due credit, he's not a bully, and he's not a jerk, but he's clearly looking for an opportunity to gain the upper hand. Jesus has been through this before. And he responds in a very visible and a very matter-of-fact way to this man. And what does he say? You remember his response? What is written in the law? What is written in the law? And so, I mean, the lawyer's got this cold, right? He quotes Deuteronomy, he quotes Leviticus, and he points to those commandments to love the Lord your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus' response is, you have given the right answer. You get an A on this one. Do this, and you will live. But the lawyer, we're told, senses that he is losing ground. He's losing his competitive advantage. He wants to come out on top. And so he asked Jesus what I believe was a fatal question. What was that question? And who is my neighbor? You've heard this one before. Now, he expects Jesus to describe his neighbor, here we go, as a person of a similar race, religion, job, age, political views, and marital status. Instead, what does Jesus do? As I said earlier, as Jesus does many times in the gospel, he says, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story. You see, there was a man going down from Jerusalem. He was going to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers. The robbers stripped him and beat him and went away, and they left him half dead. Okay, the lawyer's listening, and he's probably thinking, okay, Jesus is saying that this man is my neighbor. He's a good Jewish man, walking from Jerusalem down to Jericho. But then the plot thickens. Now by chance, A priest was going down that road, says Jesus. And when he saw him, here comes the theme, and he passed by on the other side. I don't want to get involved in this. And so likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. And a lawyer, I can see him scratching his chin and thinking about all the people that he knows, his neighbors, if you will, who never get their hands dirty helping their neighbors in need. He has seen their inaction up front. People who consistently fail to love their neighbors as themselves. Ah, now the curveball. But a Samaritan, while traveling near him, was moved with pity. Now, I'm sure the lawyer didn't see this pitch coming at all. For Jesus is speaking of a stranger, not just any stranger in that culture. He's speaking about a Samaritan, a half-Jew who deserves only slurs and hate speech. Well, friends, where is Jesus going with this one? Jesus says that the Samaritan went to the Jewish man, bandaged his wounds, poured oil and wine on them, put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And the next day, he took out his American Express card. No, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. And this is what he said. I love the language. Take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Now, wow. The lawyer must be thinking this is some kind of impressive kindness. And then Jesus looks the lawyer square in the eye and asks him the question. Notice the answer. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Now the lawyer is shocked into silence, for he thought that Jesus was talking about the Jewish man as his neighbor. He's clearly describing the Samaritan as his neighbor. Now, the lawyer can only say, watch this, look at this very closely. Do you remember his response? It's in Scripture. This is his response. The one who showed him mercy, Hesed in Hebrew. He doesn't have a name. He doesn't even give him a name. All he says is the one who showed him mercy. And then Jesus says to him, go, do likewise. Go to show kindness to the Samaritan half-Jew who is victim of slurs and hate speech. Go help the refugee family struggling to find their place in American society. Go split your scone with a person of a different age, political view, or marital status. Go and do likewise. Now, when we usually discuss this story, I believe we ask the wrong question. The question that we ask is, who is my neighbor? I think a better question would be, who is a good Samaritan? Now let me explain. We typically use the term good Samaritan to describe anyone who puts time and effort into helping a person who is in need. Now, it's not a bad thing. I mean, such effort certainly deserves some commendation. But the true Samaritan, is someone of a different cultural caste. who helps a person outside of their ethnic circle. The term applies to an outsider who helps an insider, and not the other way around. Now, I'm imagining that if this parable were to be written today, it would feature a Christian being helped by a Hindu, or a Muslim, or a Buddhist. You see, what's key here is the outsider status of the Samaritan. It truly makes this story so powerful. It takes it to a different level altogether. The essential aspect of a true good Samaritan is the difference in their ethnicity, their caste, or their cultural status. So white-on-white charity doesn't involve a good Samaritan. Neither does black-on-black or brown-on-brown. Charitable actions in these cases, I'm sure, are wonderful. They're needed. But they don't describe a good Samaritan. They simply describe good people, people like God has called us to be. But when acts of kindness cross ethnic and cultural lines, Samaritanship comes into play. The law imposes stiff penalties today when a hate crime has been committed. Why do we applaud with perhaps more enthusiasm when a love action occurs across racial or cultural lines? Something to think about. In addition, what I think we have failed to see in this story is the joy of the Samaritan. The joy that the Samaritan found in his helpfulness. Now, when we hear that the Samaritan paid the innkeeper to provide lodging and nursing, we think, man, what a generous guy. But really, in reality, the Samaritan wanted to help the wounded man. It gave him great joy. Stephen Petro said after splitting his cone, I felt happy, and I frankly wanted more of that feeling. Now call it altruism, but pure kindness, and scientifically proved, includes what they call a helper's high. In the end, it's all good, and of all, it's contagious. Now think about it. That's right. The kindness of a stranger rubs off on us and makes us more kind. The helpfulness of that Good Samaritan advanced a movement of helpfulness that I believe continues to this present day. A kindness contagion, if you will. And from a theological perspective, the source of all goodness is God. Writing to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says that God can provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, here it comes, you may share abundantly in every good work. What's he saying? God's generosity rubs off on you. It makes you more generous. And then Paul says, you'll be enriched in every way for your generosity. You'll be enriched. Let me translate that for you. You'll get a helper's high. 1 week before his scone sharing experience, Stephen Petro was waiting in line to buy a cup of coffee when a customer in front of him, he didn't know from Adam, and whom he hadn't even talked, told the barista that he'd pay for Petro's drink. The man said that he did it from time to time. Why? Because it made him feel good. And Petro thanked him profusely. He felt as though he had been given a really good and unexpected precious gift, a cup of coffee. But later he wondered, was my willingness to share a scone some days later somehow, just somehow, related to this gift of coffee? Friends, it's the kindness of strangers. It was started by God, it was advanced by the Good Samaritan, and it continues to enhance our lives today. Kindness, friends, don't leave home without it. Amen.